Very good morning. This is the Business Breakfast. Now we're talking about the latest buzzword in teaching, STEMpathy, with education expert Javier Arguello. Javier, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're here for the World Government Summit. You were speaking at the event, and in particular involved in the Platform for Education, which is something that Jim Yong Kim of the World Bank launched when he was here a couple of days ago. We're going to hear from him now saying a couple of things, and then I'll get your thoughts on that because I know you're involved in it. First of all, this latest buzzword in education, STEMpathy. This was what the president of the World Bank had to say about it at the summit.
Teachers also play a crucial role in what the New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman refers to as the STEMpathy world. In other words, science, technology, engineering, and math linked to empathy. The future, he says, isn't about what we know, because digital libraries and powerful search engines allow us to find even the most specific details about virtually any subject with lightning speed. Instead, the future is about what we can do with what we know.
He was also here to launch a new initiative.
To help meet these challenges, I'm delighted today to announce the launch of the Platform for Education, which will be convened annually here at the World Government Summit.
So that was Jim Yong Kim launching the Platform for Education. And you, Javier, are here because you're a guest of Jim Yong Kim and you're part of this initiative, the Platform for Education. You run an organization called COGX. It's a research and development organization focused on education based in Washington, D.C. in the United States. It all sounds a bit high tech. Let's just set the scene. Georgia and I have got young kids. What does this all mean for them? Why is it important?
The platform, I think, is very important because we absolutely have to raise standards in terms of how we educate children. And most of the world has not gotten this right. We're stuck with the model of rote learning and memorization. And that's criticized as being the factory model of education, which worked for societies that were driving up their workforce into manufacturing. No longer true and no longer enough. So it's absolutely incomplete to aspire to do what Korea did to get out of poverty from the end of World War II or the Korean War up until the present. Their model, while they may be ranked the highest in the world, it is completely obsolete and they recognize that. So the term STEMpathy, I hope, never sticks because it's coming at the world from two very different angles, and I believe it does not apply to the majority of the world for very good reason. First, the United States has a problem with science-based education. They score terribly. And the only reason why the scientific community does not collapse in the United States is because it imports brains from the rest of the world. It's a magnet for geniuses, and it does this through the H-1B visa, which is how they suck talent from the entire world. In the case of Korea, it has climbed that ladder in the rankings better than anyone, and it has generated a whole generation of students that are stressed, that are anxious, that are depressed, and that are now looking for empathy and happiness. So they're looking to the positive psychology to complement the broken model, but that's not going to be enough. So content is not king. We need to develop 21st century skills, and that means adding to content, critical thinking, creative problem solving, collaboration, communication. And all of this assumes that your cognitive skills are working properly, and that's not always the case. So that's where it gets really sticky, and that's where the whole world needs to find solutions to not ignore students that don't learn in a traditional way.
Okay, so that is a beautiful articulation of the problem and some of the flaws of the current education model and the education model of the past half a century or so. What does your research tell you should be the future model for the 21st century?
So the future model should embrace science. Ironically, I'm saying that STEMpathy, I hope it doesn't stick, but I do think that education needs to embrace science in a different way. First, the scientific principles of learning are not injected into how we teach. So if we keep teaching in a way that assumes that brains are homogenous, we're failing to understand two things: the diversity of neurological diversity in the classroom. So we're all born wired to learn, but we're born wired in different ways. So a student that has a problem, say, with weak working memory will develop into a problem with weak executive function, will then develop into a problem that's misbehaving and poor emotions, and will then compromise their ability to accumulate knowledge. And then you can kiss goodbye to 21st century skills or independent lifelong learning. And this problem is quite pervasive. The one I described as an example could be someone that has a language processing issue. Language processing issues affects 20% of the population in the United States, and you're more likely to end up in jail than to have a job. 35% drop out of school, 70% of juvenile detention comes from kids that have language processing issues, and 50% of alcohol and drug abuse comes from them. Now, the flip side, it's also quite pervasive at MIT. NASA has 50% of their people are people with language processing issues, 40% of millionaires. So it's like flipping a coin where you might be in prison and you might be a NASA scientist. We can do much better than that if we intervene with targeted programs that address cognition in a scientific way. So there's a ton that can be done to modernize schools and to prevent chaos, because these students that don't fit in ultimately are disenfranchised, and they're the ones that can create serious geopolitical risks, because when you fail, you fear. When you fear, you hate. When you hate, you turn to violence. And that is, I think, the call to action that the world needs to address in terms of targeting cognition when cognition is weak, and in terms of understanding the scientific principles of learning that every successful learner shares, so that we teach with those in mind to all students.
So as a parent, I've got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, and one of the biggest concerns I have is that I don't feel that the education systems at the moment really know how to teach our children for the jobs of the future, because nobody knows what the jobs of the future are going to be. So how will the theories that you propound, how will they have an impact on, for example, my children, if they were installed in the schools here?
That's a great question and a perfect point. That's why the content that you teach as a teacher is not as important as you think it is, because two reasons. One, it'll be forgotten. Actually, three reasons. Two, I can find it online. And three, does it relate to the skills that I'll need tomorrow, even if I don't know what tomorrow looks like? So that underscores my point beautifully, because to me, we should redefine what an education should be. And it should be something where we define success by the extent to which a teacher graduates out of a learner's life and a learner never graduates from learning. So if you develop your 2-year-old or your 3-year-old into a successful, independent, sophisticated learner that can acquire information, think critically of it, discern between high quality and low quality information, communicate in a way that's concise and compelling, then you have nothing to worry about for your child, because they don't need the teacher. Then they're independent. They can get the job because they can learn, unlearn, and relearn on their own. And that's a successful education.
Unlearn was something I heard yesterday from Sandeep, one of the guys on my panel about the future of the private sector. We've got about a minute left. Who's doing this right, or who's getting it most right? Which models can we follow? Best practice?
Ah, that is a tough question.
Is anybody getting it right?
You know, I like a lot of the things that Finland does, and I like it because it's utilitarian, egalitarian, and very modest. And they tend to innovate, and they don't do much until you're 7. And they realize the value of play and creativity and not cramming. They study perhaps half of what Koreans do, and they score just as high in that broken model that I was describing before. So I think Finnish people are usually up to something, and they're never bragging. So it's always good to look at Finland.
Yeah, but I'd rather own shares of Samsung, a Korean company, than Nokia, a Finnish company.
Ah, that could be for different reasons, though. Nokia made the wrong bet, and, well, Samsung phones are exploding, so...
Hey, it's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world. Javier, fascinating talking to you. We could go on for hours. We're going to have to leave it there. But really appreciate you taking time to join us in the Business Breakfast studio today.
Thank you.
Javier Aguero of CogX in the United States.